Good morning, everyone. I sought the Lord regarding what I should be teaching on this Sunday and the coming Sunday. And the Lord led me in a very, I would say to me, it was a new way. So today, you see, I would be speaking something like the way Apostle Paul spoke to the Corinthians in his first letter. Now, some of you may be wondering, what does that mean? That means he generally spoke, say, like he wrote in Romans, or he wrote, Ephesians, Colossians, where, properly what God did and what Jesus did, what are the implications, how we must walk, etc. But to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, what he did was, he wrote a letter and he took quite a few issues, quite a few things which were relevant for them to know. And if we go through that book, we will realize that he deals with the issue of division in the church there, Corinth. He deals with the issue of what to do with the person who committed incest. He deals with how to, there is lawsuits among believers, food offered to idols, what we should do. Regarding head covering, regarding Lord's table, regarding spiritual gifts. So there are lots of different issues, and if you see, those issues are not connected with one another. They're diverse things. And yet, it was important that those things be talked to, and Apostle Paul, he wrote about what he thought about it. What he thought should be their stand. Yeah? So, this morning I'm not going to talk about from the First Corinthians this morning. I'm going to address around three issues or three areas which I think need to be, talked about. And three or four issues, three or four areas. And the next week, again, three or four areas I would cover. So as you hear, some of you may think, is Brother Sunil talking about me? Well, if you are having such a question, it might be about you. I don't know. You can think before the Lord, yeah? All I would request you is, may you have a humble heart. Apostle Paul, when he wrote Corinthians, he never talked about individual people. He never talked about individual situations. He talked generally as to food. He didn't say, as to this brother so and so who has a problem with food offered to idols. No, he didn't say. He said, food offered to idols. So those who have that issue, food offered to idols, they should learn from it. Yeah? As to that person who is talking too much in tongues, no, he didn't, he talked, but he helped. I believe those were great helps to the church then. And not only to the church then, even today, we are reading that specific letter written to the church at Corinth, and we are benefited by it. Yeah? So therefore, I think this message is not only relevant to people sitting in the church, in a larger way, it is definitely going to be helpful to the anybody who hears this. So shall we begin? When Sister Lily, she was going from here, I asked her, you have been here for a few years and because you are from another church and another culture and another, I would like to know, do you have something to say to us as a church? She said few things. One or two things I felt as good things. Yeah. One of the things which she told was, I think in our church there is quite a good teaching, but there is not too much attention to application. So as a preacher myself, I felt, that is true. Although we, a person like me and other people do try to make things applicable and all, yet we can do much more. We can be more intentional in finding how to apply the scriptures. And so I thought, as an example, I would continue from a wonderful passage taught by Brother Sujit just last week, a very relevant passage about Daniel. I would not repeat his message. This is only after the message. I mean, whatever he has said, after that, few more things I would like to say. You see, how, when we read a passage like that, how do we apply it? In what way should we apply it? See, on one hand, we can say that, well, I would learn it. At the right time, Spirit of God will apply it. Actually, in one sense, that is true. Sometimes I also feel slightly odd that on Sunday, I hear a message on Wednesday, the life group leader asks me how you are going to apply this message. And immediately, I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm not facing any of those situations right now. Okay, but I should think about how I can apply. But yeah, if overall I'm a humble person and as I move on, the Spirit of the Lord at the right time will bring those things into my mind. And then I will have to decide. I will have to submit to that word, to that truth. So let's look at Daniel chapter 1. Such a wonderful passage. Hallelujah. And thank you, Brother Sujit, for teaching us from that passage. And verse 8, I think verse 8 is the key in that passage, I think. But Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with king's choice food or with the wine which he drank. So he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself. Now, just verse 8. So what was Daniel doing here? Daniel, we would say he made a choice, yeah? But I don't think we should, I mean, we all make choices. We can say he made a godly choice. But we must ask the right questions, actually, before we can apply. So that's very important. We cannot just read a passage and straight away apply. For example, now, why do you think that Daniel said that he would not eat king's choice food or the wine? Why? I mean, we have to ask ourselves the question. Some people can say, no, he didn't want to drink the wine. Yeah. Wine is something which is in Jewish circles. Wine was not considered as a wrong thing, you know. Jesus made water into wine. Yeah. I mean, come on. So, to become drunk with wine is a different thing, but wine. Just that, just whatever wine is being given, so what was the problem? So, is it that some people might think he was a Nazarite, so he didn't want to touch wine. But there's no indication anywhere that he was a Nazarite, so that will be too much of a thinking. What may be the reason why Daniel did like that? two important reasons which Brother Sujit also suggested, and let me reiterate. It might have been offered to the idols. The food might have been offered to the idols. There's no indication there. But we understand that this was happening in Babylon. There was idolatry there. So maybe the food was offered to the idols. And so Daniel just didn't want to have anything to do with food offered to idols. Definitely food, eating food offered to idols was always an issue for the Jewish people. As far as I'm concerned, I think while this is possible, I personally think that the second reason is a more possible reason. And that is, who was Daniel? He was a Jew. And Jews and food have some relationship, isn't it? God spoke to the Jews or the people of Israel regarding clean and unclean foods. One important clue in verse 8 is, look at the two times the word defile is written. He didn't want to defile, or he didn't want to become unclean. In Leviticus 11, in the book of Deuteronomy, God has clearly given instructions to the people of Israel that these are the some of the animals' meat which you can eat, these are some of the things which you cannot eat. These are, don't eat creeping insects, don't eat fish without scales, don't eat, pork and few other, horses or something meat. So there were animals whose meat was forbidden to be eaten. Some people just look at the word, verse 12, please look at verse 12. So Daniel says, please test your servants for 10 days and let us be given some vegetables to eat and water to drink. So they say, yeah, vegetarianism, look at this, we shouldn't eat non-veg. Jews were eating non-veg. I think Daniel just wanted to get out of the issue of which meat and which, don't eat meat. So God has not told these plants you should eat, these plants you shouldn't eat. So vegetables, whatever you give, we will eat. But this one, you don't want to eat. Now, why am I trying to say all this? The issue in verse 8 is the issue of obedience. Daniel, I believe, he made a choice. He made a choice to obey. He had a choice not to obey, just like all of us have choice not to obey. But I believe that Daniel here was just being an obedient Jew. Daniel could have given many possible excuses, isn't it? Why he is not going to obey this. Now, in chapter 3, Daniel's friends were asked to bow down to the image of the golden image, the image of Nebuchadnezzar. Why they didn't bow down? Answer? Commandment number 1 and 2. That's it. God has told, you shall have no other gods before me, and you shall not bow down before any image, and neither shall you worship them or serve them. Finished. And nothing doing, even if we are going to die, even if God is not going to deliver us, he can deliver us, but even if he doesn't deliver us, we would not bow down before this image. That is what they were saying. So I believe here was these young people who had the choice not to obey, who had enough excuses not to obey. What were some of the possible excuses? Number one, We are under Nebuchadnezzar. He is a very dangerous king. If I don't obey, if I say that I don't want this food, I will be in danger. In Malayalam, he might have said, I will be a notapulli. Something may happen to me. Another possible excuse was, see, God gave these laws. If we were in Israel, we could have obeyed. But while in Rome, be like a Roman. maybe he didn't have that thing to go by. But basically, how I can obey the Lord in a foreign land? Not only that, we are under punishment of God. He has forsaken us. Why we should obey his law? Another possible excuse which Daniel could have given was, see, we are very young. Even older people are not following the Lord. Some of the young guys sitting here can always say that these older people, they also are not really following. Why should follow? Now, Daniel and his friends could have also said that, well, why only we should take a stand? Why others are not taking a stand? And then maybe they could also have said that, even if I want to take a stand, this is not going to succeed. Now, despite all this, why did Daniel take this stand? Why did he choose to obey? And, taking a stand, I believe, means not just taking any stand. Taking a stand means taking a stand to obey the Lord, no matter what. Amen? Yes? No matter what. Once we know that this is the will of the Lord, and mind you, these are all the written will of the Lord. There is no confusion as to what is the will of the Lord. I believe that Daniel wanted to please the Lord. Hallelujah. He was truly God-fearing. He's an example of a person who feared the Lord, who reverenced the Lord, even in a foreign land, even when he was in exile, even when he was young, even when possibly others were not. I'm sure you would have thought about it. Why only Daniel's three friends were there to be put in fire? Where were all the other exiles? Only three people had come from, were in exile or what? Where are all the other Jews? Frankly, one possible excuse which I can think about, when the image would have come, there's that big image and said, you better bow down before, otherwise you will be all put into this fire. And mind you, it's visual also, So it's like the danger is not just spoken, it's visual. See, you will be put into that fire and you will be burnt. And so some people like me we can say, Lord, you know that my life is, you gave me this precious life, isn't it, Lord? And Lord, life is very precious, isn't it, Lord? Lord, you know my heart, isn't it, Lord? You know my heart. You know really that I love you, isn't it? I really love you, Lord. I bow down before you, Lord. I you are my everything, O Lord. Now, because you know all of this, in my heart, I'm not bowing down. But, I'm bowing down, but I'm not bowing down, Lord. You understand, Lord. You understand that I am actually bowing down, but then I am bowing down before you. I have you in mind, O Lord. Even though this Nebuchadnezzar's image is there, I am thinking of your image and bowing down, O Lord. Well, some of you are laughing. I am pretty sure, because conscience of these people would have, pricked. These Jews very well knew you shall not bow down before the image. It's written. What is the other explanation? You shall not bow down means you shall not bow down. That's all. No. Now we have to make some reason. So, So it is worth noting that these people were simple people. God said, shall not bow down? We will not bow down. And they took a stand. Now, how do we apply such a thing? Very simple. If God says something, now when I say if God says something, don't get confused. If God says something in your heart, and I'm not talking about that. When God says something which is very clear, yeah, what do we have to do? Nike, just do it. Just do it by the grace of God, of course. So some of you are saying, so should we take a stand regarding paying of taxes? There are n number of reasons why what I can give, why I will not pay tax. Why I will not pay income tax? Why I will not pay GST? Why I will not pay capital gains tax? Why I will evade stamp duty while selling the land? I can say, well, this tax is going to this government, and this government is going to build statues. I don't want to give tax. I don't want to give tax. Anyway, so we go to the shop, and that shopkeeper says, actually, this almirah costs 5,000 rupees. But with GST, it will be 5,700 rupees. So which means basically, without bill, you just take it. So as a believer, it will prick our heart, isn't it? Oh, we are not doing it. And then what do we say to ourselves? Well, anyway, the government is not managing the economy well. Day by day, the petrol, everything. How can common man live? Brother, why don't you put the whole amount in the land deal? You know what? The problem is, if I put the whole amount, this guy nearby has not put the whole amount. You see? So because I love this guy, God tells us to love one another. I'm loving this guy. He would be in a soup. So I am not showing the whole land amount. So even though I am buying at 1 lakh, I am writing only 50,000 so that I want to help this guy. Well, there are various obedience points we have, dear brothers and sisters. We can say anything. We can give any excuses and then just plainly disobey. God asks us to get baptized, and we say, well, this is why I'm not getting baptized. But I am follower of the Lord. Okay? Some children are saying, how does it apply to us? Everybody is copying. And they are getting good marks. If I alone don't copy, I'll be last. Some more senior students, you know what, we have this project, and why? Because someone else has done this project somewhere else, why I should work hard? I can copy and paste, isn't it? Why I should waste my precious time which God has given to me? I can utilize this for the glory of God. Some other people are trying to save time by what we used to call in our college, cooking up You know what is cooking up? Not cooking in the kitchen. We have a study, so we have to take some sample size and we have to write down some data. You know, you just put some data. Just put some data. Cooking up. Anyway, I am not doing a path-breaking study. Anyway, if I spend a lot of time in this data, I will have less time to study my textbook. So I think it is better to cook up data rather than wasting time with this useless project, which these teachers, I don't know who has found these things, they want us to do these useless projects. But what to do? Anyway, I'm also preparing for the Christmas program. So I need time. We need to take stand, dear brothers and sisters. We need to obey simply. I think taking a stand seems to be a big word. So sometimes, brother, I am a very weak person. I don't know how to take a stand. Oh, but do you know to obey? Well, some of us can obey the Lord by refusing to gossip, refusing to slander. Somebody comes and says, brother, sister, actually, you know what? You actually don't know what is happening, let me tell you. Please beware of such things. Do you know what all is happening in that family? What is happening? No, you actually don't know. Why should I know? Should I know? I think we should be careful. I use the word we means me included. Some of us like Daniel didn't have the problem of internet. He didn't have the advantage of internet also. But he didn't have the problem of internet. So some of us will have to make up our heart. I mean, purpose in our heart not to defile ourselves by watching some kind of videos. We'll have to purpose in our hearts, not to defile ourselves. I cannot keep on giving examples like this, but I think it's sufficient for us to realize that we have to learn something from Daniel. And if we have to learn something from Daniel, what we have to learn is the correct thing. That even if it is going to be dangerous to us, and obedience is going to be dangerous to us, not on the part of the Lord, but on the part of the other people, well, they are wonderful examples. Why Daniel and his friends are very relevant examples for us is, they lived in a foreign land. In other words, they didn't have Christian leadership or anything. They were in a pagan land. They were in a minority. They didn't have the voice. And at that time, they obeyed. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Just using this one example, I want to encourage all of you. These words are wonderful words. They are words of life. Hallelujah. They are lamp to our feet and guide to our path. Very useful. All scripture. Just the other day, I encouraged some people using this one line. In our church, we encourage that many times, but again, let me encourage. What does 2 Timothy 3:16 say? All scripture is God-breathed or is inspired by God, and they are useful. In other words, all scriptures, it is useful for what all? Number one, teaching. Number one, reproof. Actually, this word will reprove us. For correction, the word will, and for training in righteousness. So four things: teaching, reproof, correction, training in righteousness. With all this, what will happen? So that the man or woman of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Dear brothers and sisters, this Bible contains 66 books. Surely some of these books may be favorite for us. Some of this may not be favorite. Which is God's favorite book? Any, just think about it, don't answer it. If I, without giving all this background, if I had asked you, what is your favorite book? Many people will say, this is my favorite book, this is my favorite book, this is my favorite. Mostly it may be Psalms or Proverbs, but for some it may be some New Testament books. For some it is like action books, you know. you know, wars and, you know, there's action, you know. There's but which is the favorite book of Jesus, of God? I believe he has given us 66 favorite books. Hallelujah. And I think in as much as we don't read the other books, we will be weaker and less equipped, less corrected, less trained, less reproved, less instructed. Let me tell you, let me assure you, we will be not that much. There'll be some gap. So if you just don't never read Ecclesiastes, or if you never even open some certain books, in that area we will be weak, because God thought it fit that we need that also. Okay, now let me come to the second area. Yeah. So first was about the need to apply, need to obey. Now the second area which I want to address, Apostle Paul didn't have this problem. So now, you see, during his time, if people had to receive some false teaching or something, how would they receive? Some false teachers had to come there, isn't it? So certain false brethren, they sneaked in, you know, or certain other people, they go to unstable, you know, women, and then they try to. So they have to go. So all these people have to personally go. Now, many years later, centuries later, in 14th century, what happened was printing started. So now people do not necessarily have to go. They can write and go. Okay? That is 14th century. Fast forward, we come to 20th century, we have radio, we have cassette player, we have TV. So through that people can enter. So across the continents people can enter our homes now. Well, then cassette players gave way to CD. And now, 21st century, we have the internet. So, actually, these are all a great advantage, especially for learning. I believe there is never a time of learning, for learning as 21st century. Wonderful. Any field, including theology, very wonderful, we can study sitting at home. And sitting at home, I studied theology and I got a degree. So what is the problem? The problem is not acquiring knowledge. In fact, acquiring knowledge, I believe, is good. But we must examine ourselves. Why is it that I want to learn more? And that I don't need to examine you. You need to examine yourselves. What is it that is driving you? Is it that you really want to know more of the Lord? Why do you want to know the Lord more? Is it so that you want to know His ways and obey? Why are you keeping on watching so many programs? So many YouTube videos. Why? Ask yourself the question. What is driving you? Is it love for the Lord? Is it love for the Lord? Now remember that knowledge gives some sort of a power to us. That's why knowledge puffs up. Because if I know something which Matthai doesn't know, I mean, I know, you know, I have some more power in that area. I think I have some more power. And that's where I can think that I know something which Brother Matthai doesn't know. And then something happens. Please listen to me carefully. If you don't listen to me carefully, if you hear half of the things, you may misunderstand me. Then gradually what will happen is, we have a tendency about boasting about teachers. We live in a celebrity culture, dear brothers and sisters. We all have our heroes. Whether it is in cricket, whether it's in fashion, whether it's in movies, whether it's in any area, including spirituality. So we have our heroes. So there can be not just now I'm not talking of false teachers. I'm talking of very good Bible teachers. But the problem is some of us become fans. This fan culture was there in the earlier time also. So some in Corinth churches said, I belong to Apollos. Some other said, I belong to Peter. And because of that, there was disunity in the church. Now, mind you, poor Apollos, I don't think he was trying to create disunity. It's these certain people who think they belong to Apollos. They are the problem people. Problem is not with Apollos. Apollos may be a nice man. Peter, I think, was a very wonderful man. But he didn't realize that there are some Peter party people, you know, in Corinth church. So then unnecessarily what can happen is we all can have our own celebrity preachers fan. So I may like somebody, Matthai may like somebody, and Sujit may like somebody else. We all are, you know, it's really possible. Now, we all can like, but the problem is becoming a fan of some speaker or some author. Dear brothers and sisters, please take it from me. Please don't become a fan of somebody. Please utilize their services, gain from their knowledge, but don't try to just gain from one person. God has not given any patent to any single individual or a group of individuals in this world. And I don't think He will ever do that, including to our church. He has not given any patent. I am also not claiming that don't follow all those, follow me or follow, you know, somebody. No. Now, a stage has come now, especially with the advent of YouTube, Zoom, and now in the context of COVID, on a typical Sunday morning, now you all are sitting here, so this is not about you. On a typical Sunday morning, a person can say, worship of this church is good, let me go to that church. After that, that chap is a boring guy. You know, let me go to this chap. And his message is a good one. Yeah, that message I will listen. But then in between, I have that program. Okay. So let me hear the message at 2 o'clock. Yeah, okay. So now let me do this. Which channel should I go? In Bombay, that church. Yeah, that church spiritual. I think I should go there. So people are flipping the channels. dear brother Sunil, don't you think I am trying to get better quality praise and worship, better quality teaching, better quality intercession prayer, and getting an assorted mix? Now, you know, let me just take a random example, okay? Imagine a person like John Piper. He's a pretty well-known, you know, or John MacArthur, or maybe in our place, Samuel Ely, preacher, example. Saju John Matthew, or maybe, Life Fellowship, that pastor's name? Sam Varghese, you know. Nice. All these people, four people are all good people. None of them are any false teachers. So, very frankly, all these four people, I think, are probably very good teachers, and I will not say probably, they are better preachers than me. I will not talk about other preachers, okay? So now, on a Sunday morning, should you hear them or me? So, or overall, should you follow what they are saying or what? Yes, I'm taking this leadership is saying. Now, I can ask the question to you. Some of you are parents sitting here, yeah? All the parents think like this. So your children are there. Maybe your neighbor is a more knowledgeable person, okay? So your children should follow your neighbor or you as a dad? Maybe that other lady is a much better mom, much more spiritual mom. She may be going around taking seminars for moms. But your child should now, therefore say, you shut up. I am just hearing the YouTube message of? That great, great lady. Now that great lady is indeed great. So therefore, I'm not trying to make a joke out of it. Actually, we must ask ourselves a question. Is a Sunday message any different from a theology class? It should become different. Mr. John Piper doesn't know you. That neighbor or that great international lady speaker doesn't know your child. And therefore, there are certain things which Brother John Piper cannot say, or Brother Sam Varghese cannot say, which some of the lesser parents can say. And that is where nowadays people have mentors. I feel very funny. So we say, you know what? I have my mentor. You know, I talk to my mentor. You know, and oh really? Where is your mentor? He's in Canada. He's in Australia. Oh. So when do you meet that mentor? I'm just making up names, okay? Australia, Canada, some other, in other sense, far away place. So do you talk to him there? Yeah, I talk once in a month. So what do you talk? Yeah, actually I give a very edited, censored, photoshopped version of my life to him. And based on that, he advises me. You are fighting with your wife every day. He doesn't know that. How will he know unless you open with your, you open your mouth? But your local pastor knows this. That's why you don't want to hear your local pastor. He will say, hello, first stop your fight at home. Okay? First stop your fight. Let's talk about this Greek word later. Greek meaning later. First stop your... That is why God wants local pastors. That is why God wants local. This word mentor is not written there. Okay, whatever. Local. Flesh and blood people. Now, therefore, am I saying we shouldn't have anybody far? No, we can have. But if we only have such people, that is where I have a problem, and I believe God has a problem. It's a big problem if you only have non-local mentors. Or local people are low quality, you know. They don't come up to my high standard. These people cannot measure up to my high spirituality. Only certain international people or some NRI people can actually say something to me. And I will agree. If these very NRI, I can guarantee if these very people come down here, most likely such people will discard them as mentors. Recently, that brings me to the third and final area which I want to address. And that is, why should we be a part of a local church? When we have the facility of, first of all, as I mentioned earlier, let me tell it again. Preaching, you just choose. Whom do you want? Living or dead? Which preacher you want? You want Augustine, Calvin, Luther, Wesley? Those are traditional ones. You want a little bit more? Whom do you want? Choose. Which sermon you want? Choose. Which area you want? Don't choose family life right now because every day I'm having fight. I don't want that. Let's talk about missions to rural area. Again, that's very important. We had a wonderful meeting last week. So missions to rural area is one area we want to focus. But I'm saying how we can flip. So there was this one person, you know, whom I said, brother, why don't you become part of the church? You attend the church. And as you know, our church, we are not after people's lives that, you know, want to expand the membership and nothing like that. Membership drive, you know, nothing like that. In fact, if at all, people are slightly discouraged because they want to become member, we are not very keen to make them member. You know, so it's the other way around. Nevertheless, being a member is very important. So I asked this person, why are you not becoming a member? So there was, uncle, so now you can guess that person is younger. So he said, uncle, I do come to the church. Oh, yes. Then I said, no, actually church is important. We need to have some oversight. No, he said, uncle, I have some mentors. I said, you need fellowship. Uncle, I do meet with some people. And we do spend, prayer is, uncle, I do pray with people. So then suddenly I began to think, now, what should I say to this guy? Because he seems to be having good teaching. He is attending the church. He is praying with somebody. And he is also having some people as mentors. And suddenly, by the grace of God, I understood where the problem was. Any guesses? What's the problem with this guy? This imaginary guy, you know. Real guy, but for you, imaginary. What's the problem with this guy? In one sense, there's no problem because that person is hearing messages. In fact, that person was a very sincere guy, okay? See, he used to study the Bible also. He used to pray also, he used to have fellowship also, he has some mentoring also. So there are some people who can talk to his life. So now, does he need to be a part of any local church? The way you are sitting seems that why should he be, isn't it? You know where is the problem? The problem is everything he is choosing. What's wrong in choosing? It's like saying, okay, think like this. Suppose you, your dad and mom have how many? 5 children. Did any one of you choose your brothers or sisters? That annoying sister of yours, did you choose? Given a chance, would you choose that annoying sister? Would you choose that naughty brother if you had a chance? No, you would not choose. You were given. Once we become a part of a local church, you know what would happen? You are no longer at a, you no longer have a choice. You have to love this brother, this sister, this brother, this sister, this that brother, that brother and that sister, and this brother and that brother and this brother and that brother and all kinds of brothers and all kinds of sisters. We have to love. We have to accept, we have to bear with one another, we have to forgive one another, we have to carry one another's burdens. Now this guy, he carefully chose, like in a buffet, I don't want this noodles, I don't want this, I will take this, and I will take this, and I will have a meal. What a wonderful thing. I will even choose my mentors, the mentors who would not tell me anything, who would not be very strict. I would choose them. I would choose. So I hope you see the folly somewhere of this kind of unattached people. I call some of these people freelance people. So one day they are here. Oh, I'm in this town, I will go to that church. I'm in that town, I'll go to that church. I will go to whichever church, because finally every church is a church, isn't it? I'm a part of some, one of my friends says, I'm a part of universal church. Are bhaiya, all believers are a part of universal church. You don't have to say that you are a part of universal, but don't say you are a part of universal church and you are not. So some people say, no, I want to ask you, question is not whether you have a membership in some church. Question is, are you a part of that church? What do I mean when you say you're a part of that church? 6 points, okay? Those of you who want to note can note, others can hear. Those who are noting also, please hear. You see, what is there in a local church? There is fellowship, talking to one another, relating to one another, eating together, etc. Fellowship in a church. Number 2, there's not just fellowship, there is caring for one another. You know, many of these unattached freelance believers, they will give some money to somebody. But there is a certain kind of caring which comes when somebody is your brother. Your naughty brother becomes sick. What will you do? Hey, you naughty guy, you know, get lost. There is that thing on you. You may not like that guy's behavior, but yet you are supposed to look after. It is completely one thing that I say, I gave this much money to that orphanage. Oh, great. So what about your brother who is sick? What about this person who is admitted there and there's no one to make food at home? No one to care for that little child? What about those people who are shifting their house? What about that person who is looking for a job? It's none of my business, someone can say. But if that was your brother, it is your business and my business. Isn't it? Somebody is not getting married. It's none of my business. No, it is my business. If this was my daughter, this is my business. I mean, my business is not to put my nose into everybody's personal affairs, but definitely to take, you know, responsibility. So, fellowship, second, caring for one another, third, studying the word together. So, it's one thing for us to solitarily take the Bible and read whatever and make some ideas of ours. And no. There is a studying the word together. Number four, there's corporate worship. It's one thing to, of course, personal worship is important. Personal prayer is important. But that is never a substitute for corporate worship and corporate prayer. Number five, submitting to local leadership. I have already talked about that. I will not elaborate more. Number six, caring for other people, for people outside the church through evangelism and social action. It's one thing for me to just keep giving some money or doing something on my own. It's another thing that as a community we are doing something. Hallelujah. I didn't take many verses today, but let me assure you, what I have spoken is in line with the scriptures. If anyone has any clarification, please, you can contact me at night 3 o'clock. No problem. I am on call. We are here to serve. But this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Shall we pray?